So I think most people, when we showed them the property we purchased, they thought we were absolutely nuts. You know, it's not something that the typical couple would look at and say, "Oh, I want to build a home or redo that and make it a home." It was run down. It was a duplex. It was run down. It had been a couple other things in the past, but it was vacant at the time. So we ended up taking it down to the slab, and we only kept the front wall and the front part of the roof, and then we redid it from there. So,
welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Valberg Marketing LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Alyssa Poole. Alyssa, what's up? How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for this. We were both saying before it's been a busy week already. There's stress, but this is literally my favorite part of the day. And I'm excited because we get to talk about, you're the co-owner of Victor Views. Really like a boutique style assisted living facility with your husband, Zach, right? It's Zach.
Yes.
And I had to use my cheat sheet. I forgot Zach's name.
Sure.
And ultimately, I saw you on the news. Everybody loves the facility. I looked online. It's freaking beautiful. It's clean. It's modern. But let's give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit about what you do at Victor Views and who you offer, you know, a little bit about what you guys do in your residence.
Sure. Well, thank you for all of that. I appreciate that. So we are, like we say, a boutique style assisted living home. So it's a residential model. It's not something that you see much in New York State. Pretty popular down south more. But we thought we could bring it to New York State and see how it worked. We're licensed for 12 beds only. We're a home. So we're a one level home with bedrooms around the perimeter of the home. We have a main dining room area. We have a main kitchen and then a main living room where, you know, the residents often spend a lot of their time together. The reason we built this model, not only, you know, for the socialization model of it, but just having that engagement every day. So, you know, the residents, what we tell families is, you have a bedroom, you know, it's not an apartment like a regular assisted living facility, but it's a bedroom. So, you know, we want the residents to sleep in there and be comfortable at night, but during the day, we'd really like them out and gathering in the main living areas and the main dining room and kitchen. So it's a lot like home, you know, you use your bed for sleeping and then you come out and you enjoy the rest of the home during the day.
I like this. So there's a social aspect. I know a lot of assisted facilities, you kind of have your own spot and then maybe you leave to get to the, it sounds like everything's all in one centralized location.
Yeah. And it's nice to see it working out the way that I had envisioned. Like I said, people are really just using the bedrooms to sleep and then they're coming out and they're enjoying each other's company all day until bedtime, really. You know, they can go to their rooms for some quiet time during the day. But often they enjoy quiet time just besides each other, you know, whether it's reading a book or watching a program together, TV show. They're often just sitting there to be with each other for company, which is really, really nice to see and very beneficial, you know, for them. Their cognitive ability, it kind of keeps them going, which is great.
I like to hear that. I mean, everyone's been through death somewhere in their life. And I remember when my grandfather passed away, just the whole senior living situation just didn't seem like at home for him. He's very social. He's incredibly social. He would go into the diner and everyone would know who he was for 20 years of his life. So being able to have that social community, you said that residential style is not very common in New York. Where does this idea come from?
So we really, actually back in 2015, we were listening to a podcast and this was kind of an emerging trend with a guy, his name was Gene Guarino. He started it and he actually was looking for a place like this for his mother in New York State, upstate New York, and couldn't find anything. So they actually moved, they went to Arizona, and this is a very widespread, like I said, widespread in Arizona and Texas. There's a couple of these homes, you know, in every state now it's becoming an emerging idea. But that's really where we got started. We took a class down there, and we just thought, you know, I also have family experience with my family in larger facilities. And I just thought there was an alternative. Like you said, it's sometimes hard for people to transition. You know, they've been living in their home for 50, 60 years, and it's a home. So when they need extra care, it's really hard to go to a big facility for some people, especially, like you said, that small town guy who is so used to knowing everybody, and then he goes to this big facility. That's a hard adjustment for people. So I wanted to provide this alternative model for individuals that do want to keep it small and keep feeling like they are living in a home, even if they're needing a little bit more help with those daily tasks.
I love this. And you can go as deep or just shut me down if you want. I'm curious about your experience with your family, or maybe just what you've seen with the larger homes, and like, what was the experience there, and why is, you know, this experience, the Victor Homes experience, so much different?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a couple of reasons. Like I said, we're different. So a big facility is okay for some people, right? Some people like having that big campus-like feel where they have several different places to choose to eat. They have big buildings where they can go to different rooms and do different things. But we offer a home. So we have a home, we have a bedroom, we have a kitchen, and we have a main living area. We have less residents. So it's a much more tight-knit community. I like to call it a family because I really do feel like we're becoming a big family. You know, we have the consistent caregivers, so it's not new faces to the residents every day or every shift, which is really nice. They really, really get to know the residents. And, you know, oftentimes I come in and they catch me up, or the residents catch me up to speed on everything that happened, because everybody knows what's going on. They're taking care of each other. You know, the residents are caring for the other residents. So it's just a really nice community to be a part of. And like I said, it feels like a family. It doesn't feel like a big campus community. It feels like a home with people that care about each other living in it. You know, and the staff to resident ratio is quite different. So in a typical bigger facility, you know, on a good day, you get like one staff for every 10 residents, sometimes for every 16 or every 17 residents, whereas here we're about one staff member for every 4 residents at this point. So a pretty big difference as far as the amount of time that a staff member can spend with a resident. And we can really tailor, you know, towards the residents' needs and their preferences, because we don't have to satisfy 100 residents. You know, we only have to help, you know, keep 10 people, 12 people happy and comfortable and safe. So it's a lot less to deal with as far as that goes.
Yeah, a lot less. You can actually tailor and cater to their specific needs.
Absolutely.
I love this. I like the college campus analogy. Just in the fact there's actually nothing wrong with that. And right. I know personally, I'm not a big city kind of guy. I will visit a place like New York City and ooh-rah, spend some money, have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
I would never want to live there and be on the subway every day. That's just not my style.
Yeah.
And for someone who that is their style, a larger facility might be fun. It's like going to college again.
Sure.
But if you want that relaxing, personal family feel, it sounds like, you know, that's more what Victor Views is going for.
Yeah.
Where did you get your start? Did you go to school for hospitality or this kind of thing?
No, so I'm actually an occupational therapist. I've been an occupational therapist for about 10 or 12 years now. I don't know, I lost track. But I started out working at St. Anne's. So again, I was, you know, part of that big community. It was great. It's, you know, a great community to be a part of. And then I transitioned to home care. Being in the home care field, I got to see so many more of the communities around me, going in and out and helping people within those facilities. So that's really my background as an occupational therapist. I am still an occupational therapist, still doing home care a couple days a week. So that really gave me my knowledge. I've always worked with the geriatric population. And I absolutely love it. I knew I wanted to do that from the start. I've always had that special connection, especially with my grandparents growing up. So I just knew that was the area I was going to be focused in no matter what I did. And then my husband, he actually owns a construction company. So, you know, with his knowledge of the structure, his knowledge of property management, and we have some rentals as well, some real estate. He's very interested in that. It just kind of seemed like our two skills, you know, that skill set really made a good combination for this assisted living model.
It is a good combo. I joked about it when we spoke last that yeah. It's beautiful, and it really comes in handy when one of the co-owners has a construction background.
Yes, absolutely.
it's spotless. It's painted. It's beautiful. What did the location look like before you guys came in and remodeled it? Was it beat up? Was it decent? What was like the before and after?
Yeah, so I think most people, when we showed them the property we purchased, they thought we were absolutely nuts. you know, it's not something that the typical couple would look at and say, "Oh, I want to build a home or redo that and make it a home." It was run down. It was a duplex. It was run down. It had been a couple other things in the past, but it was vacant at the time. So we ended up taking it down to the slab, and we only kept the front wall and the front part of the roof, and then we redid it from there. So yeah, it was a very interesting, and my husband did a good job. Let's just say that.
It's a big project. How long did it take?
The construction piece of it was probably, well, if you go through all the zoning stuff prior, I mean, we were a full year with the zoning requirements, the town board passing it all through that. And then the construction piece was probably from September to May or June. And then the licensing piece we were doing right along. So to get licensed for New York State, that was another solid year and a half to get through all of that. So
it's not an easy process.
No, not easy, but every part's doable. You got to know that's what you want to do, or you're not going to make it through, you know, and we both knew this is what we wanted. So every day we just chugged along and got it done.
I love that. And that's kind of where I wanted to take the conversation. Like how did you know this is what you wanted? I mean, you're in occupational therapy, he's in construction, mm-hmm. match made in heaven to make this work. But why did you make the decision? Why was this your goal, your vision for your next step?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. You know, I think being an occupational therapist, I knew I had a passion for caring about people and maximizing or encouraging their highest quality of life, keeping them as independent as possible for as long as possible. So that's always been a passion, but I also knew there was more to me than being an occupational therapist. I knew there was something else that I needed to do. And then having my grandparents go through, you know, the whole transition from independent home living to assisted living to skilled nursing, my eyes were just kind of opened to a lot of things through that whole process. And I really wanted to be able to provide the care that I feel people really deserve as they're aging and as they're going through those transitions, not only for the resident, but also for the family. You know, I was very, very passionate when my grandfather especially was, you know, going through that transition. I wanted to be able to provide all that care for him. I couldn't at the time. So I was like, you know, I want to do it for the next person that I'm able to help, you know? So when this opportunity came up, when we heard the podcast, when we found the building, it all just started coming together. So I knew that's what I was meant to do. And then my husband was right on board. So his support was huge in all of this.
That's really special. I mean, it's almost as if you were called, like you listened to the podcast, you went mm-hmm. through an experience that, you know, touched you and you wanted to actually pay it forward and do things mm-hmm. differently for people in the future. And yep. I just commend you for that, because a lot of people, me included, will listen to a podcast, get all like excited, and then not actually take the action. And with all the work involved, it's amazing seeing this all come to fruition and seeing that you're operating and Victor Views is open and running. Mm-hmm. And it's, you guys are still pretty fresh, right? When was the official grand opening?
Yeah, so we had the grand opening the middle of August. So we are, we've been open a solid four months now about. We're still pretty fresh. I think the idea is catching on with some people. It's still, it's still a new idea. So explaining it to people has definitely been like the biggest, I would say, barrier as far as, getting people to come and look, because it is a new idea. It's not only a new building, but it's a whole new idea to the state. So that's definitely the biggest hurdle. But I love having that challenge. I love explaining the whole idea to people, explaining the model to people. So it just kind of comes with the territory. And, I'm willing and I'm able, once people see the house, I can really explain to them, what we're here for, what the services are that we offer, and what sets us apart.
Yeah, it is a new idea, but that's almost a good thing, because there's so much growth to happen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you tell me, I feel like the people that want to live in a residential area, like in a situation like this, they're probably totally on board, right? They probably absolutely love it.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, once I can share the idea and we can get people in the house to look at the house and to tour around, it kind of ends up selling itself, let's say, for lack of better terminology. They just see what you can automatically feel, the family atmosphere when you walk in the home, when the residents are talking to each other, when the staff's talking to the residents. It's more than just the daily communication that has to be done in a facility. It's actually personal conversation. And it's residents looking out for one another. So it is, it's nice.
So personal conversation, people look out for each other. I have a long way to go, but it sounds like it's a perfect fit for me when I actually make that decision. I'm wondering, so a lot of people, and this might be a tougher question, but I don't know the answer. A lot of people have parents or family members, or maybe they themselves are a little bit older. How do you know when is a good time to make this kind of step? Is there a perfect time? Is it just like an intuition kind of thing? Like, what do you think?
Yeah. So, that is a hard question to ask yourself. What I have found is that, unfortunately, people try to either maintain the independence or be on their own longer than they should. Families have a hard time letting go before it becomes a crisis mode. So that's what I really like to warn people against is, start to look around before you even think you need it or your family needs it. Because if you don't, you're going to be rushed into a situation. You're going to be rushed into decisions that have to be made. And you don't always end up in the ideal place or the ideal situation. So really planning ahead is the biggest thing I can recommend to any person, any family. Some key signs that you're going to look for if somebody needs a higher level of care is not only in that person themselves, like not only are they not taking care of themselves anymore, but their living space is going to be a little more disorderly. You might find dishes that haven't been done. You might find stuff on the floor. You might find mail that's been unopened. It's just those subtle signs that can kind of indicate something's going on and somebody's needing more help. As far as assisted living level of care, we can offer the assistance for bathing and dressing and toileting and showers and medications. So if those daily tasks are not being completed or safety's a concern or somebody's falling, and that's definitely an indication, but it's also, it might be almost too late at that point. Like I said, you really, really, really want to plan ahead. So, if you have any older parents or you're kind of on the verge of starting to look, just start looking, because you really want to have that choice be up to you, not because it's a crisis.
That's like such good advice to plan ahead. Don't wait for a crisis. I mean, I know personally at my age, and this isn't a specific thing that I would need to plan for. However, there's a million things that I don't plan for. And then I'm like caught off guard. I'm in crisis mode. However, if I plan ahead, it's like exciting. Like, I'm excited to make this step. Like, let's clean up the house and go. I'm excited to move. I'm excited to travel. For me, you know, move, travel. But for someone older, this is like a vacation from a home that they might have lived for 40, 50 years. So is that scary? Yeah, it's probably pretty scary, but it seems like it could be pretty exciting too.
Yeah. And it, you know, it is scary for people, but I think, you know, like I said, if you do plan ahead and they're allowed to get that choice of either place A, B, or C, rather than just being pushed into a place because there's no other options, that definitely helps with the transition. So if you have that time and you've planned ahead, that's huge for making that transition smoother for somebody.
So who should come in and see the place? Can anybody just come in, schedule a time and come in? Is there a perfect person to come visit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to show it to anybody. So, you know, if you're looking for your parent, if they're in need of, like I said, those daily tasks, then definitely an appropriate place to come visit, to see if there's rooms available for sure. If you're thinking ahead and want to plan for down the road, definitely come visit. We can always, you know, touch base when it's actually needed. But right now, yeah, I mean, it's open to anyone. If you can always call or email me ahead of time, which is, you know, the information's on the website. I'm more than willing to schedule a visit with anybody that, you know, is interested.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I hope people do reach out. Obviously people are wondering that there's still rooms available, right? They're not totally full.
Yep. So we currently have 4 rooms available. So yeah, if you are interested, I'm strongly encouraging you to reach out to me, contact me. I would love to give you a tour and show you around.
So I'm curious. So first off, this won't come out for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. So knock on wood for anyone listening that's excited that there are still rooms available, but you never know. Honestly, that would be great if you could fill 4 rooms very quickly.
That would be wonderful.
But I will presume there's still rooms available. What happens when they all fill out? Are you going to build another facility, or what are the plans once they all fill out? Is there a waiting list? Well, what's the plan there?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we will have a waiting list, but also we do want to get more homes in the area. You know, with this being successful and going the way that I had envisioned, I definitely would love to see 3-4 more homes in the area. I think it would be great. So for now, you know, definitely if we fill up, there's a waiting list. But I know my husband, him in real estate, he's already looking for land, already looking for a building. So there's definitely another one in the works.
Yeah, go-getters. Because that seems like the only struggle with the model, that you can only have such a limited capacity.
Yeah.
That there's a little bit of exclusivity there. And then once you fill out, it sounds like you guys are go-getters, though, and you're going to build 2, 3, 4, 5 more.
We would love to go that way. Yes. Yep.
So is that part of the mission, to kind of just change the culture of senior care? Because I'm just being honest with you, I had not seen this kind of model. And once I saw that you were doing this kind of model, it makes perfect sense. I kind of wondered why I hadn't seen this kind of model. It's almost like a commune, or almost like, for me, it reminds me of, like, I don't know, again, being in college, but not in a campus, but just having roommates and having a shared space and the bonding involved. By now, I'm just rambling. I just think it's an awesome, cool model that I would love to be a part of.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I enjoy it. I love being here. I just love it. But yeah, what was the question that you were asking me?
I don't think I actually asked you a question, but to ask a question, any surprises? So you obviously had to go through the challenges of the paperwork and the zoning and the time, mm-hmm. and all that kind of thing, and building the team. that's kind of expected, even though it can be more challenging than we think. Anything completely surprise you, either positive or negative? Anything that kind of caught you off guard throughout that whole process?
Well, yes. I mean, in a sense, the whole process was depending on how everything works. All new and exciting, right? But I guess just the timeline of it, you know, when we first started, we're like, yeah, we're going to have this thing up and going in a year, you know, and 2.5-3 years later, we are finally open. So just that whole timeline of how long it does actually take to get something like this up and running. We are hoping, obviously, if we do a second one, that it's a quicker process being already licensed with this home. But with the pandemic too, I mean, nothing is for sure as far as timelines anymore, especially when you're working with the state and the Department of Health. So that was the biggest thing, is just trying to time everything out so that it made sense and worked.
Have you gotten any feedback from maybe the residents or families or just in general about with the pandemic? My intuition is it's a little bit safer. And that's not to undermine anyone's living situation. It just seems long-term, assuming COVID doesn't go away immediately and viruses like this could occur again. Mm-hmm. I like the model for safety reasons.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it's not bulletproof by any means, but because we have less residents, you know, it's typically the same people coming in and out. So it's that the same family members. We have activities, but we really monitor who comes in for those types of things, or the family members themselves volunteer to do activities with the residents. So we have a little stronger hold on who's in and out of the building. And it is, I mean, there's less residents. The residents don't go out very often. They're the only ones really around each other. So you can, and like with the staffing too, our staffing's very regular as far as who's working, the same staff members, very familiar to the home. So in a sense, it could be considered safer. I never want to say that, you know, knock on wood for sure, but just less people. Yeah, less people in and out. But we still are able to allow the families to interact with the residents and the residents to interact with one another. So
I love that. And yeah, it's not bulletproof. It would be ridiculous to say that it is. Yeah. But I like the model that there is less foot traffic.
Yeah.
It seems like in this time when everyone has anxiety, I like the thought of less people coming in and out.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
So I, it's a Rochester podcast. I the past like 10 episodes, I always forget to bring up Rochester. I mean, granted, we're talking about Victor, but I just want to talk about like fun stuff like Rochester and Alyssa, like ultimately like weekends or vacations or just like days off when you're not working. What do you love about the region? Like, what do you like to do? Where would we find you on a Saturday or Sunday when you're just taking the day off?
Yeah. So I don't know if days off actually exist in my life anymore. I do have some downtime, let's say. So we have three young children. We love to do all of the fun toury stuff, I guess. Like we love to do the Strong Museum. We love to just go to the mall and ride the carousel around. Often Eastview is the mall that we end up going to. You know, we'll go and do just the jump zones, the trampoline parks. We try the different playgrounds out in all the nearby towns. If we can do any of the hiking trails like Powder Mills Park, we like to do that kind of stuff. We like to ski occasionally, so we'll do Bristol once in a while. So yeah, that's kind of where you'll find us around, trying to entertain the children and keep them tamed.
Yeah, you guys must stay really active with skiing and trampoline park. I've never been to a trampoline park, but that seems like it would be a heck of a workout.
Oh, it is. It's definitely exhausting. Yeah, I don't leave there without sweating, that's for sure.
You said you have three kids?
We do, yep.
How old are they? They're little
ones? We have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and then an 18-month-old.
Okay, so two of them are crazy, and the 18-month-old starting to get a little energetic, I imagine.
Yeah, I think he's actually the craziest out of all of them, to be honest with you. He's got to keep up with the brother and sister, so he keeps
running around.
Yeah,
that's awesome. What else? Let's go rapid fire, because rapid fire is really just like the get to know you section where quick, short answer questions. A lot of these are either or, but you can fill in the blank if you don't like any either of the selection. Just to get to know Alyssa a little bit more.
Sure.
I pretty much always start with coffee or tea.
Coffee, absolutely.
Beer or wine?
Wine, red wine.
Red wine.
Oh, yeah.
Dry, sweet?
Dry.
Dry red wine. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Are you a morning person?
Absolutely. That's the best time of day. I'm in bed as early as I can be in bed with my kids.
How early? So the kids obviously probably mess up regularity, but when I hear morning person, is that like 6 o'clock or is that like 4 o'clock?
So my husband's 3:45 or 4 o'clock most days. So when I hear his alarm go off, I'm like, yes, at least I've got another hour. So I'm up around 5:30. I like to get to CrossFit by 6 if I can. You know, you got to get the workout in before the kids get up and run around. So on a good day, that's ideally how my day would start.
Oh my gosh, you guys are go-getters, waking up 4 or 5 o'clock, hitting CrossFit. Oh man, I've been waking up at 5:36, and that's early for me.
That's good. Yeah. Definitely still dark then, so that's good.
Do you have a favorite season?
Fall.
Yeah. Favorite band or musician?
No, I wouldn't say single out any of those. I'm a country fan. So, you know, any of those nice poppy country songs, that's what I listen to if I'm not listening to podcasts or books on the car.
Well, let's talk about podcast books. I'm a nerd where I listen to podcasts all the time. Like I was raised musical background, musician, love music, hosted a music podcast, used to go to shows like 3-4 days a week. I almost never listen to music, Alyssa. Like I'll go to music and I support music, but I'm like so obsessed with podcasts nowadays that I listen to music less and less.
Absolutely.
So I'm a nerd when it comes to podcasts. Do you have any favorites, any go-tos?
Yeah. So, I mean, I like, I just started listening to the Ed Milet show. So I'm a big fan of that show, the Empire show. I do like Relay F. So those types of shows I like to listen to, the motivational shows, you know, the ones that inspire and kind of make you realize, yeah, you're doing all right, but you can do better. So.
Yes. Yeah. Business, motivation, leadership, personal development. You said Ed Milet right off the bat. That's a great podcast. I mean, I would never tell anyone to unsubscribe to this show, but if you want to subscribe to a podcast where he's talking to athletes, he's talking to musicians, he's talking to business people, he's talking to everybody, basically. Just about life and personal development and being better and making me look bad in the fact that he's just on such a high level. And I appreciate people like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You always got to have something to shoot for, right?
Yeah. 100%. 100%. What else? I'll do one more, kind of a trickier one, but live or dead, you get to set the dinner table and basically have red wine and relax with any 2, 3, 5 people. You get to sit down and just kind of just shoot the shit and have fun. Who would you invite to that dinner party?
Oh, that's tricky. I would say probably Craig Ballantyne, Bedros Kulyas, Gene Garino.
I'm such a jerk face, Alyssa. I don't know any of these people. Am I just like under a rock somewhere?
No. So Gene Garino, he actually recently passed, but he was the guy that started this whole residential assisted living. Oh, so
yeah.
I really want to do a huge shout out to him and his family. So he's definitely a motivation, inspiration to us. Craig Ballantyne, he talks about, he has a book like about a whole morning habits routine. Bedros, he does a podcast with him, The Empire Show, which is also very motivational. He's a good friend of Ed Milet's. So yeah, I guess just those types of people that I could really look at as an inspiration and learn a ton from, like way more than I would have time to sit down and listen to.
Yeah, it's incredible when great minds sit down and just relax and you can learn so much.
Absolutely.
Well, awesome. I mean, the listeners know that the info's in the show notes. If you don't, then you don't listen to enough podcasts. The info's in the show notes, but I always want to make sure we mention it. So how do people keep in touch with you, Alyssa? How do people come and see Victor Views and consider it for their family?
Yeah, so you can contact me personally. My cell phone number is 315-576-5082. We do have a website, www.poolseniorliving.com. And then you can also just email me at Alyssa, A-L-Y-S-S-A, at poolseniorliving.com. So either or, you'll find all the information on the website. And please reach out. I'd love to talk to you.
It's perfect. I'm going to keep you in mind. If you build an empire, you know, in 40 years or ever 50 years, I'm going to join. I'll come to one of these facilities once you build that empire.
Absolutely.
I have a question about the Pool Senior Living. So obviously you and Zach, your last name's Pool. Why is the facility Victor Views, but the company itself Pool Senior Living? Is it because you want to have multiple, or that was the thought?
Yep. That's the thought. So Pool Senior Living is kind of that family company, and then the homes under it will all have different names.
So you can have Victor Views, Canandaigua Views, Pittsford That's Views, right. Fairport Views.
You've got, yeah, you're Brady on the right views. Track. You are on the right track. You've got it.
Got it. Wow, we only spent like a half hour, 45 minutes together today. Is there anything that we missed? Anything that I should have asked you, or anything you just want to add in at the end here?
I don't think so. I think I just want to say a huge shout out to you. I mean, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this with us. I know Zach and I have been speaking to you a little bit beforehand. You seem to offer really great services for marketing. So absolutely, if anyone needs assistance with that, I think you're a great guy to have that support from. So thank you again, Ben. I do appreciate it.
Alyssa, thank you for that awesome feedback. And wow, I didn't expect that. But ultimately, community living, community business support. I know I'm going to be supporting you and your company. I'll be talking about it anytime that it comes up. And I encourage all the listeners to do just that, to support their local businesses, to support their local business owners, and help each other out. So,
that's definitely what it's about.
Thanks again, Alyssa, for coming on the show. I had fun.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.